Welcome to another episode of Freaking 88 Unfiltered. I am your host, Freaking 88. It's going to be a really wrestling-heavy show. Just thought I'd get that disclaimer out of the way. I'm going to start off with the only non-wrestling-related topic I'm going to talk about in today's show, and then the rest of the show would just be wrestling-heavy. So if you don't care for professional wrestling or anything that has to do with that, I guess it's pretty easy to turn off the show right after I finish talking about the opening topic. And as much as I hate to start off the show on a bad note, it is something that I wanted to go over just because, I don't know, it may be somebody out there is listening to this that's a teenager, or somebody has a sibling that's a teenager, and who knows, maybe this will kind of give a little nudge of something you may already know, something you may already, you know, condone, or not condone, but something you already believe in as far as, you know, being there for a sibling to help them not make mistakes. During their high school career, at least, but just to kind of like a reminder, you know. But the opening topic is just about the death of one J.B. White. He was going to have a promising college basketball career for the University of New Mexico as a freshman this coming fall, you know, assuming that they made the proper arrangements to have the season still take place with the pandemic going on and all. And that all came to a halt on August 1st. Just a few weeks ago, J.B. White was at a party in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Actually, was it Santa Fe? Can't remember. I think it was. Oh no, actually, it was 12 miles north of Santa Fe. This is why I'm glad I pulled up the story right here to have it next to me. But so I guess the altercation happened around 3:30 a.m. where J.B. White and another male by the name of Esteban Montoya just basically had a fight outside the house. J.B. White went for a punch and Montoya avoided it and started running away from J.B. White. And instead of just leaving it alone there, J.B. White went after him to which caused Montoya to whip out a gun from his waistband and shoot J.B. White. And at this point, everyone just like screamed, ran to their cars. Esteban ran away. And then J.B. White goes to a friend and told him, "Esteban shot me. Please don't let me die." And, you know, obviously they called the paramedics. And unfortunately, J.B. White passed away from his injuries there at the scene, or from his wound there at the scene. And around, let me see what time it was. When it was that they went to get the shooter, I think it was like 7 a.m. ish. Yeah, at around 7 a.m. they went to get the shooter after having probable cause, you know, to go get him. And he declined to be interviewed by the deputies. He just, you know, obviously invoked his right to an attorney. And yeah, it's just. It's very, very crazy. And right now they're looking to charge Montoya with an open count of murder, assault with a deadly weapon, and other crimes. And they've even filed a motion, the prosecutors, to try him as an adult. And this kid, Esteban Montoya, and I use the word kid, or use the term kid loosely, because yes, he was only 16 years old, but he had quite the rap sheet at the young age of 16. I think it was when it was 10. In another article I was reading that he got caught selling drugs. And then later, I think when he was 14 or something like that, he had possession of firearm or drugs again. I can't remember. I think it was even both. So by 16, this kid, he's already had a rap sheet, man. And as of right now, at the recording of this episode, they haven't charged him with anything yet. So, you know, it's yet to be seen what he's going to be charged with. But, man, it's just so unfortunate, man. And when I saw this story a few weeks ago, like a few days after this happened, I saw the video and, you know, interviews of friends and family and the funeral and stuff like that. And I noticed that all the people interviewed, whether they were friends, classmates, family members, they all said the same thing. At least one of them. I mean, they all had this one thing in common, that and what they said was that J.B. White is a very friendly guy, got along with everybody, very positive, very uplifting kid. And I don't I don't know. I don't want to sound like I just believe everything I see, but you know, just from seeing a lot of pictures and clips of him, even talking to kindergartners and telling them, you know, that they can do whatever they want. And please excuse my dog in the background there, but you know, seeing him talk to younger kids and just basically trying to be like a role model figure almost. Like it is easy to believe that the kid had his head on straight, and I don't know. It was his ego. A reputation to maintain. I don't know what it was that, or just the other guy was just getting on his damn nerves that he just wanted to shut him up. And I don't know what caused him. I mean, or who knows? Maybe it was the alcohol, because there was, you know, in the report it said that there was a lot of bottles and empty beer bottles and cans everywhere. The neighbors that they interviewed that lived around that house party said that they've never seen such a big party. There was, I can't remember if I already mentioned this, but there was over 50 people there at that party. And yeah, it's very unfortunate, man, because I mean, if you look at it from JB White's perspective, you know, I don't care what this guy was telling you. You got to think of the big picture, man. You're going to play college ball in the university you chose to. He declined other schools. He wanted to go to the University of New Mexico so he can stay close to his mom, who he was really close with. And, you know, just continue to pursue his dream and hopefully play in the NBA one day. The guy measured, I think it was 6'6 or something like that. And I saw some of his highlight reels. You know, he can pass, he can shoot, he can defend, he can drive in the lane, he can shoot the open J. Like, he was like a really, really good all-around player that you would at least say, okay, this guy, maybe he won't make it to the NBA, but he should at least have a decent college career that he can look back on and be proud of. You're really gonna risk all that, or even damaging part of that, or putting any of that in jeopardy over a fight with some stupid kid at a party? Like, come on, man! Like, you gotta be smarter than that. And the other guy, I don't even want to think about his perspective. This guy, I don't know what kind of life he had that made him go down the wrong path at such a young age, and then, you know, just have him do such a stupid, idiotic thing like killing someone at a party. But, I mean, look at what he's going to face now. You know, either the rest of his life behind bars or most of his life behind bars. Like, you're fucked. You haven't even turned 18. You didn't even turn 21. Probably didn't even have his driver's license yet. And you're already behind bars for years and years and years, maybe even life. Like, what a shitty life. Just because you wanted to shoot this guy. And now for JB White, you know, we're not going to get to see him play ball. We're not going to get to see what he could have mounted up to. And, of course, his family's devastated because, you know, they were looking to, you know, watch him go play at the University of New Mexico. And the University of New Mexico did release, like, a tweet and stuff like that, just, you know, sending their condolences to the family. And it's just, it goes to show you, man, that there's just so much shit. And it's crazy that if you have graduated high school at least within, you know, 5 years ago, or even longer for that matter, you can look back on it and say, man, like I made it through high school. And your high school may not have had drama or fights and such shit like this, but like, we all have some sort of obstacles in high school, you know, whether it's academics, whether it's, you know, social life, whatever it is. And the fact that if you're listening to this and you made it through high school, like, pat yourself on the back, man, because it really is like an accomplishment in its own, not just to get your diploma, not just to see what you move on to from there and hopefully bigger, better things, but the fact that you survived high school, not just physically, but mentally, everything, because there's so much shit that goes on these days. And I remember the night before, because I'm the oldest of three, and I have two younger sisters, and I told both of them, and they're 6 years apart, the night before their first day of high school, I told both of them, if you're ever in trouble, if you ever need, you know, to get bailed out of a situation or whatever, like, just call me, I'll go pick you up, I'll bring you home, no questions asked, we'll sleep on it, we'll talk about it the next day. Like, I wanted them to know that if shit goes down, no matter how bad it is, don't try and, like, fix it and end up making it worse. Don't try and, like, I don't know, count on somebody else and who tells you, yeah, just come do this, yeah, we'll just lie, whatever, come on, just run away from the cops, whatever, or whatever, you know, whatever the case is, like, just don't make it worse. I want them to know that, like, they can count on me to kind of be there to help them out, you know. And this goes to show you that such tragic things can happen. And I don't know. Like, I just hope anybody that's listening to this that has a sibling, like, just remember, man, if you haven't made them feel that they can come to you for everything, like, you need to do that. Because you never know what can happen. You don't want to look back on it and say, I should have opened up to them. I should have let them know. Or maybe they do know, but I should have reminded them just to keep that fresh in their head, that I'm there for them. And it can be pretty scary to, when you're in deep shit, to go to your parents. So at least have them rely on you. Be that person they can count on. And I'll leave you with, before I move on to wrestling, I'll leave you guys with this quote from the late Mac Miller. Sometimes it's hard to pick right from wrong. The best thing we can do is go with our heart and hope it all goes well. Moving on to professional wrestling related news. I can when I read this, I was just like, you know, when you read something and you just think to yourself, like, that person's social media privileges need to be revoked. Well, that's how I thought about Kylie Rae. Okay, I'm not gonna front with y'all. I honestly forgot what I said in the very last clip before I paused it so I can take my dog, who clearly had to go take care of his business outside. So I'll just start over. The next topic is talking about Kylie Rae, and I read something from Kylie Rae that just made me think, like, you know, when you read someone. Something posts on social media, and you're just like, okay, their social media privileges need to be revoked at least for a day or a week or, you know, whatever applies based on how dumb you think their statement is. Well, that's how I felt when I read what Kylie Rae said about people who don't like intergender matches. And let me go ahead and pull up the quote here, so that I can go ahead and get it exactly. Okay. Exactly right. And I quote, this is what she tweeted. The theory: if you don't fucks with intergender wrestling, odds are you don't truly respect women. Then she put the shrug emoji, ready for war. And he put the crying laughing emojis. And the first thing that came to mind was, what brought this on? And I know that recently, you know, Brandi Rhodes, she took down her Twitter, and I don't know if she took down all social media. I don't know if she took down her Instagram, but she took down Twitter because she was getting a lot of criticism. And someone can correct me if they want on Twitter, I think what happened was there's a service where you can charge, or that you can pay for, to get all kinds of news of wrestling, women wrestling, and just anything that has to do with women's wrestling related. It's a site or a service that you can pay for. And I guess people were complaining about the price and this and that, and they took it out on Brandi Rhodes because Brandi Rhodes was trying to justify, you know, the cause for it and whatnot, and then she just couldn't take it, and, you know, she took down her Twitter. And that's the only thing that I've heard recently that would kind of has to do with this, but and not even that much, actually, in a way. But I don't know what Kylie Rae's deal is, and I still don't know what happened with AEW. I don't know what led to their falling out. I don't know why she just went from, like, I thought that she was going to be one of those people that, okay, she signed with AEW at the right time because she had a following even before, you know, before she competed at, I think she competed at All Out. I should know that because, or at All In. I should know that because I was there, and I think she did. But either way, I thought she was going to be someone that would sign with AEW, and she was going to be someone that she, even though she had a following before AEW, AEW is going to, like, kind of take her to the next level as far as, like, fandom goes. And when she left, I was just like, and not left because she didn't sign, but just when they, you know, just agreed that they would go their separate ways, I was surprised. And sorry, trying to get comfortable here on this leather couch. I was surprised because I really thought that was a really good match. Not a match made in heaven, but, you know, it was a good match. And I don't know. I mean, since then, to me, she's a part of the wrestling company that has the best women's division by far. By far. It's not even close. Impact Wrestling doesn't have the viewers that they should have. Impact Wrestling doesn't have, you know, the oohs and ahs of production and things like that. But what they do have is the best women's division. I completely understand that a lot of people have been turned off to Impact Wrestling because let's face it, they've done a lot of fucked up shit in the past. And not fucked up from a moral perspective, more from just like a booking and everything that comes with the putting on a wrestling program. They've turned away a lot of people over the last 10 years or so. So I completely get if you're just like, okay, I hear you, Miguel. They may have a good product, but I'm just done with them. I completely understand that, and I will not argue it. But anybody that complains that, well, WWE doesn't give this person a match, you know, Ring of Honor doesn't do that much with the women, I don't know AEW's women division is trash and blah blah blah. If you're saying all that and you still don't check out at least the women's matches on Impact Wrestling, then I don't know what to tell you, because you're just, you know, you really don't care about women's wrestling then, if that's where you're going to draw the line. But all that being said, I don't know what the hell, before I get off on a real big tangent on that, I don't know what brought this on for Kylie Rae. Like, of all people, her? Like, why? And that, the way that I saw this tweet is because I don't follow Kylie Rae, but someone that I follow quoted her tweet and then gave his response, and I completely agree with what he said. He put, and I quote, "What a ridiculous take. It's called preference. Doesn't mean you don't respect a certain group. Imagine me saying a person doesn't like my personality, and I assume that person doesn't like all black people. Y'all are getting out of control with this narrative, and the simps are worse." Like really? Like, seriously, that really is, I completely agree with that. Like, it's just so stupid of Kylie Rae to say that. And this is the type of the shit that just gets under my skin. Another example of that kind of has to do with what Kylie Rae said is, my fiance and I watched this television show, this reality show called The Challenge. Basically the only reason we give a fuck about MTV in 2020. And there's a guy who just won the last season of The Challenge, and he has the most challenge wins in the history of the show, with 7. You know, he's won hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think more than $1 million combined from being in that show. Well, on the flip side of that, there's this guy who's just really bitter. He hasn't been on the show for years, and he's just, I guess, bitter that he hasn't gotten a call back, even though some of his friends have. And he's been going on rants recently on Instagram saying, well, it's because this dude, and he's talking about the guy who keeps getting called back, and he's won his 7th win now. It's because, you know, he sleeps around with girls, you know, this and that, and he's a homosexual, he's gay. So then he plays the, oh, well, it's typical MTV, you know, they don't want to let the gay guy do this, they don't want to let the gay guy do that, and it's like, come on, dude, it has nothing to do with your sexuality. You know, this past season of that show, there was a lesbian, a female that's a lesbian, make the finals. Like, it's just, you play the game good or you don't play it well. That's all it comes down to it. And this guy, like, he's just, I hate when people do that. Like, they're trying to make their point, so then they play the card of, you know, race, sexuality, religion, whatever it is. And it's a very rare that you hear someone play those cards and you're just like, well, they have a point. Well, they have a point. You know, you never say that. It's like 9 times out of 10 when someone opens their mouth and plays one of those cards, you're always just like, shut the fuck up. Like, you're just saying that to make your point, or you're trying to take the easy or like the cheap way to make a point. Like, that just pisses me off. And so when Kylie Rae says that, I'm just like, that's, first of all, let's say this was not a pandemic going on, I don't think this would go over well with indie wrestling promoters, because quite frankly, you know, who wants to hire someone that has such negativity like that? And it's not even like she's a big star, so it's like, well, we'll take the hit just because to bring her in and, you know, help fill up some seats. Like, she's not even that big of a star, so I don't know. I don't see where she's coming from. I completely disagree with her, and her of all people who don't even have that notoriety, I'm just like, there was no point for you to say this. And if she really does feel that way, then I fucking feel bad for her, because she has no clue what she's talking about, especially because there are a lot of diehard fans out there. Like, for me, I'll just say this. I have no problem with intergender matches. As long as the storyline the right people are in the ring, and it just works. I can get at least give it a damn. I can't talk right now. I can at least give it a chance. That's what happens when you record at 1 a.m. But I can at least give it a chance, you know? I don't really give a fuck if it's two guys, two girls, a guy and a girl, a mixed tag match. You know, I don't care. I don't care if it's three girls against three guys in the first ever six-man and female intergender elimination match, whatever. I don't give a shit. As long as it's something that I can get behind, something that's booked right, something that's just... put that has a storyline, that has substance to it, that makes me want to care to see it on TV, then I don't care. And the reason I say this is because I firmly believe that there's a lot of people that think the same way I do. I know there's people that just don't fuck with women's wrestling, and you know, that's fine. Again, it's all preference, but I know that there's a lot of people that think the same way I do. The person that actually gave his two cents about Kylie Rae's response, and whose tweet was the one that I read earlier, he's actually the biggest women's wrestling fan that I know personally, and he's saying this, you know? So it's just I don't know, man. Someone needs to take a break from Twitter or something. I don't know, but Kylie Rae, that ain't it, fam. That ain't it. Okay, now lastly, I guess I kind of thought it was going to be two separate topics, but I guess they kind of intertwine with one another. This is going to be the last topic of the show, and it's basically just going over Raw Underground and Vince McMahon saying we need to make new stars. So there's a recent interview. Vince McMahon said just that. He says that they need to make new stars. So what do? They bring back Shane McMahon. And what's Shane McMahon going to do? He's going to host Raw Underground. And what's Raw Underground? An underground mixed martial arts club, I guess, for the lack of a better phrase. And I didn't watch this live when it debuted a few weeks ago, but I was reading the tweets, and I will admit that when I read the tweets, I had to check it out. And it wasn't because I thought there was going to be a part of me that would love it, but I was really, really curious. Like, you know, because for one thing, when you watch matches on Raw, there's 1,000 camera cuts. And I don't see them doing that in a small warehouse kind of environment. So that was the one thing I was interested in. The second thing was who's going to be showing up. Like, are we going to get, like, Bobby Lashley against fucking... oh, damn, I don't even know who else would... against Andrade, I don't know. Like, you know, they could. I was really curious to see what they were going to do with that. But... and I'm trying to just kind of keep my composure, not because I don't want to yell, because quite frankly, I've been so over WWE for years now that it doesn't deserve nor get that reaction out of me anymore. But I my head hurts when I try to understand, and when I try to just think like Vince McMahon. Like, I'm not saying AEW is perfect. I'm not saying that they should look at what AEW is doing and just copy everything. But I will say this. Look at how AEW at least listens to the fans. And before anybody says, well, WWE listens to the fans, look at the guys that they push. They do not listen to the fans. They pick guys that they want to get behind. And when they pick a guy, or when I should say when Vince picks a guy, he'll get behind them. But then he has lunch and he's over that guy. He does not want to do anything with him anymore. And what I mean by that is Vince just changes his mind like clockwork. It's just, that's how it is. It's been like that for years and it's continuing right now. And just try and put yourself in his shoes. What made you pitch, or whoever even pitched the idea, if Vince approved it or if Vince pitched the idea at a creative meeting and said, we're just going to let dudes just bare knuckle fight, we're gonna let them do that, and I think this will keep us, you know, with in good graces with the fans. The ratings that have been absolute trash as of late will come back up slowly but surely. This will be a long-term good thing for us. Like, none of that applies here. Like, I didn't see one person on my timeline that said, fuck yeah, this is what Raw was missing. Hell yeah, I can get behind this. I saw mostly people laughing at it. Some people were just kind of like, oh, like, they didn't even know what to say. And then you got the people that are there, the people that came out. So I haven't watched anything past the first episode of when it debuted. And I did, however, see Ziggler in there. And all I could think was, okay, let's look at this from a kayfabe perspective, leading to a reality-based perspective here. So Dolph Ziggler, the guy who has never, he hasn't won a world championship in 7 years. He won the Intercontinental Championship at one point, what, like 4 years ago, I think it was. Then he walked out. Just walked out. No reason. He vacated the belt and that was it. Then he comes back, pretends like, I never did that. And on top of that, he loses constantly. Like, I don't know. I wish I had his one loss record here on television match for television matches, but I can assure you that it is just absolute garbage, that win loss record. So they picked him. And you know what? Oh, wait. Here's the kicker. As of, a few weeks ago, he was the number one contender after jumping from SmackDown to Raw. He was the number one contender to face Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam. So you're already like, what? Him? Okay, whatever. And then on top of that, he gets punked for his title match by Randy Orton. And I get it. Randy Orton has been tremendous. Randy Orton is, he's awesome. But from a kayfabe perspective, he got cut in line. And then he just sat there and took it. And then they put him in Raw Underground. Why should we care to see him in an environment where, hey, this is where men just fucking come down here and beat the fuck out of each other? Why should we care that this guy is down there? And I know someone's probably going to think, well, if you think about it, he's in there because, he's pissed. He's gone through shit. His title match got taken away from him? No. So are they going to continue storylines from Raw into Raw Underground? And I know, I get it, it's been, three, maybe four episodes that have happened since the debut of Raw Underground. And I haven't watched them all, so maybe I'm out of the loop and I'm missing something, but you can't do that. They have to separate the two. And then they mixed in MVP stable, which I actually like. I don't think they're amazing or utter, but they weren't doing anything with MVP. Then that retirement was bullshit from the get-go. They weren't doing anything with Shawn Benjamin. The guy's still talented, has something to offer. And they weren't doing anything with Bobby Lashley, who they tried to. I think he had a feud with Braun Strowman. Or not Braun. Who do you have a fucking feud with? Damn, who do you have a feud with this year? Man, I can't remember right now. And I guess that goes to show you how memorable it was. But for the most part, they haven't done anything with this guy. And actually, did he have a feud with McIntyre? I think he did. Yeah, I think he had a feud with McIntyre when he lost. But anyways, for the most part, they haven't done anything with him. And I don't care what anybody tells me, it's not him. He was in Impact Wrestling, and they used him a million times better than WWE probably ever will. So the guy still can do stuff. It's just WWE doesn't know what to do with him. And they put that stable in Raw Underground. And I don't know. I think at the end of that episode, they're like controlling it. They're running Raw Underground. They're going to be like the head honchos around there. And I don't know if they continue that. But even so, I'm just like, what? Anything that I just mentioned that has to do with Raw Underground, what can anyone take out and said they can build on that? That'll be good in the long term. I can see why they're doing it. Like, no. It just, one part, I don't feel bad for the people that continue to watch this, this program, this company, and get disappointed, because at this point, you can only blame yourself. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many options out there of that you can choose to get your wrestling fix. And so you're doing this to yourself. But then the flip side of that, there's people that are innocent. And, especially the younger viewers, they don't know what's out there. And to them, this is what they know wrestling as. This is all they can go by, is WWE and whatever WWE puts out. And they're continuing to watch this. And they're helping keeping those already trash numbers from being just bottom of the barrel, you know? And I read a tweet earlier, and this tweet said that, I can't remember what it said word for word, but it basically said, I'm going to continue to support WWE. I know that they're not always the best, but they're the first company that I've watched with wrestling. They were once great at one point, so I'll always love them, and therefore I will always watch them. I get part of that, like the sentimental attachment. Like, I mean, I made a video that I quit watching WWE after 20 or 30 years. I forgot what the year mark was at that point, but it sucked. And then at one point, I watched every single episode of Raw up to, like, I don't even remember. I think it was like 2017, something like that. I can't remember. Because the show sucked. Like, it wasn't like the show was still any good. But a part of me was like, I've watched since day one. Since day one, when I was 4 years old. Like, I gotta keep it going. But it just got to the point where I'm like, I'm just wasting my time. Like, I'm wasting too much time. Life is too precious to waste watching some garbage show that I'm only emotionally attached to because I've been watching since I was 4 years old. Like, no, enough's enough. And I don't want them to continue to get one over on me by getting me to watch their garbage program every week. So I stopped watching. And I don't know whoever's listening to this that maybe is on the verge of saying, you know, like, I'm probably going to stop watching WWE. Just ask yourself, why do you still watch it? Without naming any wrestlers' names. Because, you know, you can be the biggest Seth Rollins fan and still not watch WWE. You can watch his stuff, but that's slim pickings, you know? It's not like you're watching a whole three-hour episode of Raw. So ask yourself that. Why do you still watch WWE? And don't mention a single wrestler's name. And I think I'm gonna post that question on Twitter tomorrow, see what everyone's feedback is, or maybe even make a YouTube video out of that. I don't know, but I'd be really interested to know, because this whole concept of making new stars, and remember a couple years ago, the McMahons were out there along with Triple H on a segment on Monday Night Raw to open up Raw, and they basically said that they hear the fans, they're gonna change. A new era is going to begin and blah, blah, blah. And they're basically trying to tell everyone that they're going to listen to the fans. They're going to start making new stars, shake up the product, and just stop getting in the way. Stop trying to be the stars of the show. Stop trying to be the powerful authority figure. They were trying to really convince people on that. And they actually tricked some people that I know, based on my timeline, into believing that that was true. That never fucking happened. Immediately after that segment ended, there was a fucking rematch from the week before. Like, it's almost hilarious at this point. Like, you think of that CM Punk quote from that pipe bomb promo when he said that Vince McMahon is a millionaire who should be a billionaire. He's fucking right, because I don't care what anybody tells me. I love New Japan Pro Wrestling and I love AEW, but to me, if WWE had their shit together, if WWE just wouldn't get in their own fucking way, they would be the number one company, just from a match quality. Maybe not match quality. It's debatable with New Japan, but they would be number one all around. Like, when you take everything into consideration and it just adds up to, you know, maybe they're number three or number two in match quality. But when you add everything up, they would be number one by leaps and bounds, and it wouldn't even be close. Why? Because we've seen what they've been capable of in the past. It was a very distant past, but it's a past, and nonetheless, and it's definitely out there on the network, and you can see and remind yourself that they were once good. And someone's probably gonna say, well, that's why I continue to watch WWE, because they were once good. Yes, but back then they treated you like they gave a shit. They don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about any of us anymore. It's about making dollars. It's about keeping the advertisers happy. It's about keeping Fox. It's about keeping USA Network happy. That's all it is. So when I saw Maria Kanellis post on Twitter that, you know, WWE is not interested in making new stars, she's fucking right. Like, it's not. And I get that she was, you know, I don't remember if she quit or she got fired, but she didn't want to be there. So that's how it is. I don't take that as sour grapes. She put on Twitter that WWE doesn't want to build new stars. They just want to spike up the ratings for a couple of weeks to keep the investors and the networks happy. What WWE doesn't seem to get is that ratings improve when people care about the story and the stars. Invest in talent. Spend the time building stars. Stop the laziness. And that was basically an exact quote. But that's fucking right. That's 100% right. That latter part of her tweet, the laziness. Invest in talent, storyline, stars. That's why it doesn't have to be a male versus male match, Kylie Rae. As long as other substances are there, people will care, regardless of if it's an intergender match or not. So it's just infuriating to see that, man. The perfect comparison that I can give you right now, anybody that follows football, is to fucking Antonio Clown. And that's what I'll call him, for fucking over my Oakland Raiders or my Las Vegas Raiders. And this guy has so much talent. He honestly could have been up there as the number two receiver of all time, in my opinion, behind Jerry Rice, up there with T.O., with Terrell, with Randy Moss, you know, with the greats of all time. But because he just went on a fucking rampage and a downward spiral that just basically is just took his career to a big, big decline. And now he's on the sidelines. He doesn't have a team now, but I still predict he'll sign with the Seahawks eventually. If not before the season, during the season, I think that's where he's going to end up. But my point is that this guy, if he just had his shit together, would be doing such great things. Tearing up records, racking up yards, making a lot of money. That's what Vince McMahon should be doing right now. Setting records. I think he could set records on TV nowadays if he did everything right. He'd have the buzz for sure. So many more opportunities they have now than back then. Yeah, back then they had Stone Cold, The Rock. They had a lot of stars on that roster. They have a lot of stars on that roster right now. If you just write down on a list of paper the guys that they have on their roster, they can work their fucking asses off. They have guys that, if they got the machine behind them, could be hella marketable. So they, yeah, like, excuse me for saying this, but yeah, they have their own version of not the Attitude Era talent, but they have their own version of stars. But they just don't see that because, I don't know, all they care about is whatever Fox is going to write up in the check. And I don't know what else to say about that issue, but anybody that's listening to this, like, I don't know, shoot me a tweet, man. Tell me what you guys think, because this is just fucking, it's just, and I get that I'm beating a dead horse. It's not going to get any better. SummerSlam is this Sunday. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be good. It's not going to be something that for sure turns everything around or leads me to think that things are turning around. I get that this is the way WWE is going to be probably for a long time, probably for years. And I don't want to wish any, and I'm not wishing any ill will on Vince McMahon, but things will probably be this way until he passes away and someone else takes over. Who knows? But my point is that it's just sad, just utterly sad to see a company be so inept and so blind to see what's right there in front of them. Tons of cash cows, tons of eyeballs that they can bring to the TV, to their program. But whatever, but that's all I can really say about that. But yeah, I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. I don't know when I'm going to upload the next one, but I got a really special episode coming up. And I guess you just have to be on the lookout for that on whatever streaming platform you subscribe to this on. And of course, as always, when the new episode drops, I'll definitely tweet out the announcement for that, just to kind of give you a little nudge to go ahead and check it out. But yeah, as always, thank you guys for listening.